Bear Podcast 447.
Just makes you all fuzzy inside.
So was it all lube? What kind of lube?
Okay, are you ready?
But he's got a. But in the picture that he's got on, it looks like he's got a bear.
I got to see lots of bears playing.
What? You mean you didn't have your podcast equipment with you?
It's actually plants killing zombies. Would it be better to go there and then get sick afterwards? Well,
I don't know. It depends on what you get sick with. Me and James have a lot in common. We're both tasty white. The Matt Bear Prod. Don selling his thong. Having it auctioned off, I think you got $150 just for a thong.
Your question of the week.
The sexy question of the week.
Oh, really? You want instant gratification in a week?
Yeah, those bears get around. Everybody knows everybody in this world.
Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
And welcome to episode 447.
Yep.
Yes, and the Bear Podcast is based here in Houston, Texas. And it's getting cold here, don't you think, Ray?
Yes. Wait a minute. 440. No. I was fixing to say 450 is going to be the end of the world, but there's two episodes before that.
Yeah, that's right. So 449 would be the end of the world. If we make it to 450, that means we're still alive.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it means, yeah. So we're still in the end of the world frenzy right now because a couple more weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I pay no mind of these bill collectors, just in case.
Don't pay your bills.
That's right.
Just in case you don't have to, okay? Does that mean we should do some shopping spree or something?
No.
No?
Because just in case it doesn't end, I got to have money to pay the bills. So. So you know how it goes.
Yeah, I know. All right, so what's been happening to you, Ray? Oh, wait, before we go to our weekend updates. Guys, it's the holidays.
Send, Merry Christmas.
Yes. Merry
Happy
Christmas.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Mazel tov. Dreidel.
No. Dreidel. Yeah. Send us, if you want to send us some greeting cards or holiday cards,
or
whatever
money.
Have you.
Or gift
money.
Cards.
Send it to Bear Podcast, P.O. Box 2511, Humble, Texas 77347. Okay. So we'll put the address on the show notes. At bearpodcast.com. All right, so let's go on with our weekend update.
So you were out of town this weekend. Where were you?
Right. Well, Mike and I, you know, since we travel back and forth. Usually comes to Houston. This time it's my turn to go to New Orleans. I went to New Orleans Friday in the afternoon. And what usually takes me about 6 hours or 5 hours to 6 hours, it took me 8 hours because of the heavy traffic and all on I-10.
What's the traffic so heavy on I-10 for?
It's in Baton Rouge. They have a very heavy construction right now.
It really
sucked. So I went to New Orleans. It was really fun. So Mike and I went to, we had a dinner. It's actually a date weekend for me and Mike.
That's good.
And Mike and I went to a restaurant called Giacomo's. And it should be coming up, the food that I posted. But anyway, I posted it on Facebook. It's actually, I want to show it. It's coming up soon after this Tinko Inky picture. Hold on. So we ordered we ordered food there. We it should be coming up soon. There it is. This, okay. This food here. If you're watching this right now, the food that you saw on the screen is actually pork chop. It's actually called a smothered. Stuffed pork chop.
Oh, what'd you stuff it with?
So imagine a pork chop. This is pretty wide. Put in ground beef, shrimp, and mushrooms. You fold it like an omelet, and then pour
syrup on it.
No, gravy.
Oh, gravy!
Gravy. So, oh my God, it's just so delicious. But it's just so, like I posted on Facebook, it's about 1,500 calories right there. I think.
But it's all meat.
It's all meat.
But that gravy is probably very calorie heavy. So.
Yeah, very, very. So after that, we also went out to watch a few movies. We watched Life of Pi.
How was that?
Pretty good in 3D. Pretty good in 3D. But the story is okay. It's not. It's one of those feel-good stories, feel-good movies. And the other movie that we watched is Argo. That is highly recommendable. I love it. I like the story because it's about... You would like this. You can relate to this because... in Iran, in 1979, when the Iranians
took a hostage crisis
in the U.S. embassy there. Six workers there in the embassy were able to escape, and they hid in the with the Canadians. Canadian ambassador, I think. Yeah, so they were hiding. They didn't, because of course they will get beheaded and everything. Yeah. So what this Ben Affleck's character did was he's a disguise specialist, something like that. So he went there. He made a fake movie called Argo, a science fiction movie about. So that's why you might might be able to relate to it. So that's how he got it. They pretended that it's a that they're filming that they're filming they Argo there. They got him out.
Okay.
They got him out. Okay. This is pretty much part of history right now because this was declassified by either, I don't know if it's, Reagan or Bill Clinton. I think it's Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was the one who declassified it. He was the one who told, because of course, you know, we have to keep it a secret for more than 20 years, I guess. So then he told that, here's the story.
Yeah.
So.
But I remember, I was growing up doing all that. I remember all that. I remember all the yellow ribbons around the trees and. You know, it happened during the Carter administration, and that was one of his last things that he was able to get done when he, as his 4-year tenure as president, is he got the Iranian hostages released.
Yeah.
If he could have got them released before the election, he'd have probably won the election and been reelected. Yeah. And not Ronnie Reagan.
Yeah. That's why it was. There was a controversy back then that it was kind of a. It was kind of part of the propaganda. Do you think that it's kind of a plan? That when you release it, then release the hostages.
You never know. You never can tell if that was anything to do with it. But
I wasn't born.
I mean, that was the whole Anyway,
okay, that was the whole one.
That was the whole thing that I don't think that you know. Carter walked in, and there's the gas. There's the fuel crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Iranian thing happened, and all this stuff happened, and. You know, it just it kind of the shit hit the fan there for a little while with him as president, and he just couldn't get out of it. But one of his last, because I think they come home in December. He got them released in December, which is, you know, his last couple weeks in the White House. So, but I think if he'd got it done before the election, he might have got reelected because I think people had lost faith in him because of the Iranian hostage situation.
Yeah.
Because they wanted us to go, they wanted him to go in and start bombing and taking over and getting them out.
Yeah.
And he was
that
all
was
about,
one of the plans.
And then he was all about. Let's do it peacefully, and you know, try to work through it.
Yeah, so they called it the Hollywood option, which is really good. I mean, I like the story. There was some comedy, just a little bit, because you got John Goodman in it, so they had to put a little bit of comedy, I guess. So that was a good movie. I liked it. So if you guys want to watch it, just support the movie. It's a Ben Affleck movie. It's got Ben Affleck spooge.
Yeah.
So check it out. And then also. Oh, I've been catching up on my True Blood. Mm. Well, not True Blood, but the Sookie Stackhouse series. So I'm now on my seventh book.
So you're reading the books while you're driving to New
Orleans?
Yes,
I am. That's right. No, I'm not. I mean, I got an Audible account. I'm trying out Amazon. So Audible, you instead of reading it, it's an audiobook.
Who's reading the books?
Joanne Harris, I think. No, not Joanne Harris. Joanne, I forgot her name. But, very southern voice. But, I forgot. I've been listening to it for many, many times now. I don't remember the girl's name. But anyway, but it's not Anna Paquin or anything. But, it sure sounded like her. So I was listening to that. So it's the seventh book. I've been listening to this. Whenever I drive to New Orleans, takes about a few hours. So.
Mm-hmm. 8 hours in the car listening to Suki.
Yeah.
Finish the whole book in one drive.
Yeah, you can do that. I could practically do that. Actually, with this last book, From Dead to Worse, it's a double book, or it's really big. It's a really long, long book. So I'm trying it out. Guys, if you have an Audible account, let me know what you guys are reading or listening to. So maybe I could try it out. Okay. So that's pretty much it. How about you, Ray? How about what have you been busy with this weekend?
Oh, it's been a kind of busy weekend. But Friday I did something very interesting. Our friend Julio.
What did he do?
Well, no, he gave me a hookup. He got me some tickets to the the 50th annual candlelight tour presented by the Heritage Society at Sam Houston Park, which is downtown.
Gay, very gay.
So, but it was very nice. Sam Houston Park is located right in downtown Houston. They have a bunch of houses from different eras that represent different time frames of Houston, and also a lot of them tie back to Sam Houston. And what they do is they set up all these. You get this whole candlelight thing. You go to tour all the houses, and each house, they have a little vignette set up at different eras. So, like, we started off at the Kellam Noble House, which is the oldest surviving masonry house in Houston. It was built in 1851 by bricks made on the bayou, on Buffalo Bayou. Mm-hmm. And the guy that built it was good friends with Sam Houston. So he went there and stayed and visited and stuff. And it's a nice old house. It kind of looks like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house, you know, the one with the two double porches that wrap around. And okay. Very southern house, but it's very nice.
Sounds
and
they scary did
this
whole too.
19. And this is the 50th anniversary of it. So it started in 1962. When you walk in, there's these two women dressed up in 1960s attire with their little pillbox hats on.
Do they have the accent on?
And they're just like, oh, welcome to our first candlelight tour and blah, blah, blah. And they talk cute about the house and that we just acquired the property. This is the first property and we're trying to acquire more and everything like that. So then you go through the house and they show you some of the stuff in the house. And then you go out and go. And as soon as we come out the back of the house, we went around and stepped over and went to the Nichols Rice Cherry House, which was the home of William Marshall Rice, who founded Rice University.
Oh, okay.
So it was his house. It was a gorgeous house.
Rice University.
Yeah, it was a gorgeous house on the inside. I was like, man, why can't I get a nice old house like this? So, and then right behind that, when we stepped out, we walked out, and guess who was standing there?
Who?
Julio. He was giving the tour of...
was the tour guide, Julio?
He was being the tour guide of the Baker Family Playhouse, which is just a little bitty kid's playhouse.
Julio, our sex therapist show before,
yeah.
Now is a tour guide.
Now is a tour guide, okay. So...
Nice.
So he was there. But, I mean, if you ever get a chance to go down there and tour it, and when the Christmas is over with, I'm going to go down there with Julio so he can actually take me on an in-depth tour of everything. Because they kind of run you through it, because, I mean, they've got these things timed, like, every 10 minutes to roll through, so... And
that's
then take
exciting
about people of 10 minutes. So it was very nice. But some of the other houses, the San Felipe College Cottage that was built in 1868, 100 years before I was born. There's the Old Place, which was built in 1823, okay, which is a frontier construction style house. And it was basically just a long house with a fire pit place at one end and beds at the other. Very basic. I was like, thank God I didn't live back then. Then they got...
There's no game room?
Nothing. Well, it's just one big room. That's
one big room. It's like
then there's Pillot House, which was built in 1868, which is an East Lake Victorian style house. And then there's St. John's Church, which was built by the German farmers, immigrants that came in from Germany in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. And it got moved. Most of these houses have got moved over there. I think the only actual house on the property was the Kellam Noble House, which started the whole park, and then they've added to it over the years. The Statted House, which was built in 1905, which I guess is the newest house, but the guy that built it, it was a spec house. The guy that built it was a big oil man. He was one of the guys that first came to Texas. There's oil here.
He's
yeah. and it was set in like 1910 or something like that when they were getting ready to have a New Year's Eve party, and it was all decorated. You walk in and it's the house staff there, and they're like, oh, come in, Mr. and Miss Daughter, and him. It was funny, but it's a gorgeous house. So, and then there's a couple other houses on there. So if you're ever in Houston, you get to go take a chance. Go down to Sam Houston Park downtown, because it's kind of ironic. You got all these old houses, and then right across the street, you got skyscrapers.
It's a good thing you reminded me. Mike and I went to the Sam Houston Monument.
It's not there.
It's not the same place.
No, this is downtown. Sam Houston Monument somewhere else.
It's in by Crosby or even farther. Yeah. That's what we went to. But this one's Sam Houston. Yeah.
But this is all about the founding of Houston. This whole park is kind of based about what happened in Houston, the founding of Houston, and the history of what brought Houston there. And how it changed from being a seafaring community getting as a kind of a seaport type place that fed stuff in the Galveston all the way to the oil business, the oil boom. So.
Wow. Oil business.
So it was very good. It was very nice. Had a nice time down there.
Maybe Mike and I can try it out next time and see Julio in action.
So, but it was very nice. And they do a great job down there. So I was impressed.
All right. Okay. Just to continue a little bit of what happened to me when I got home Sunday afternoon or Sunday early evening.
What? Somebody broke into your house?
Somebody broke into my house. No. I noticed the lights were on. No, actually
the lights were on, but as usual, at night nobody was home.
Yeah. No, the light was on. When I got in, I see a lit up tree. A lit up Christmas tree. And then I figured out, Ray,
why did my name come up in this?
Yeah, why did you come up with it?
I said, why'd you think I did it?
Why did you do it?
What did I do it? Just help you out.
Okay. How long did it take you to put it up?
We went with him and we bought him a Martha Stewart Christmas tree.
Martha Stewart.
I mean, we're trying to up his gay factor here.
You should add up to the gay factor, yeah.
And it's one of those things that's in pieces. You just put it out, the limbs right on it. You put it up basically like an umbrella and it stands up and pops. Mm-hmm. Well, you think that would be easy? No. I spent 2 hours going through and stretching out every little branch to fill it in so there wouldn't be all these big gaping holes and get it all nice and look like a full real tree. It took 2 freaking hours just to do that.
Now, I'm afraid to take it apart. Should be easier, right?
Yeah. All you have to do is unplug the lights and then take it down in 3 pieces and it falls up.
It's got one of those lights already, right?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to light it up. Maybe we'll do something during the week just to decorate it.
Yeah, it needs to be decorated. All it has on it now the lights were is built in. And, it's got a poor little bear angel out there all by itself at the top.
Yeah. That's your old topping, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I have a bear treetop.
Yeah.
Tree topper.
And it's a top. It's a bear top.
It's a bear top. Right on top of the tree. So thank you, Ray, for setting up the tree. I might need help putting it down when I get back. Anyway, so there's a few topics that I'm going to talk about. But one is, I just came up. I just remembered. If you guys are from Australia, any of you guys from Australia, email me, okay? show@bearpodcast.com because I need to talk to you, okay?
Where are you going to in Australia?
We're going to Sydney.
That's all you're going to is Sydney?
Yeah, it's all around Sydney.
Okay. So if you're around the Sydney area.
If you're in Sydney area, let us know. Let me know or nard@bearpodcast.com.
I can't remember. TJ, are you over there by Sydney?
No, he's in Canberra.
Oh, Canberra.
Melbourne. He's in Melbourne.
He's on the other side of the country. Yeah.
He used to live in Sydney, but he moved to Melbourne. So, oh well. Anyway, so we're going there. My partner and I are going there. So, looking forward to it. I've never been to the land down under. No. So
they're all nice and big and uncut.
Are they really? Just like Europeans? Australians are uncut?
Yes, they are descendants of Europeans. What are you talking about? Most of them are British.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, of course. I know. I understand.
So,
wasn't it like a prison colony back then?
Yeah, just like the United States was a prison colony.
No, it's not. It's got pilgrims.
Well, it had pilgrims, but Georgia and another couple states were prison colonies for King George. So
okay. So on with the topic with Ray has experienced. Take it away.
Several times now.
Okay.
How many of y'all have been stood up on a date? Because I got stood up this weekend.
Many times?
What?
How many times?
I don't know. I've probably happened 2 or 3 times in my lifetime.
Okay.
But this weekend it was just like, what the hell?
Does he know that you were doing a podcast and we're talking about him?
Oh, no. I haven't talked to him anymore.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I can understand
people
being a little flaky.
Do you need a violin sound?
No, I don't need a violin
sound. You need violin sound while you're on.
People being a little flaky and something coming up and say, hey, I can't make it, and canceling on you. That's understandable. But to text them in the morning and say, hey, are we still on at 5 o'clock tonight? Because the whole thing was I was cooking them dinner.
And you told them that?
Yes, they knew that.
Oh, I'm cooking dinner for you.
That's why I'm checking to make sure you're there before I go out and do all this big meal stuff and you're not going to, and something happened. They're like, yeah, are we still? And said, yeah, great, own it. I was like, okay, so cool. So I get all my stuff in there. I make a big old pot roast, all this potatoes, carrots, the whole 9 yards, put it all in the crock pot, let it cook all day. Run a bunch of errands all the day, running back, get just back to the house about 4:30, jump in the shower, get cleaned up, get everything set up and ready to go. Sitting there at 5 o'clock. Well, they're not there. And I was like, well, okay, maybe they're running late. So I said, I'll give them a look, you know, traffic or something. 5:30, nobody's there. So I text them. I said, are you coming? Is something going on?
Mm-hmm.
No response. So another 30 minutes goes by, and I'm like, okay, I'm getting ready to go eat here. He texts me back and says, oh, I'm sorry. I just got my phone. I just got my phone, and that was it. And I was like, well, okay, are you still coming? I mean, I haven't eaten yet. I was waiting to see if something was going on with you or you were going to respond or whatever. And he says, do you still want me to come? I'm like, yes, I got dinner sitting here on the table waiting on us. If you don't come now, I mean, I didn't say that. And then no response after that whatsoever.
Oh, what an ass.
No response whatsoever after that. So I was like.
He could have been just even be apologetic.
He could have said, hey, something came up, blah, blah, blah. And then today, after lunch, I get this lame-ass excuse text to me about. And then it's not even all spelled correctly or text out correctly. I went to brunch with cousins that came into town, blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, you know what? If you told me that last night, it might have been a different story. I'd still been pissed off. At least you had a good story to come up with instead of thinking about it all night and coming up with some lame-ass story to tell me.
Yeah, he could have just canceled the video.
Yeah.
Huh?
So what's your best being stood up on a date stories? If you got one, give us a call at 206-222-2327 and leave us a voice message about it and tell us how your being stood up on a date happened with you. So,
tell you frankly, I've never been on a real date because, you know, I've been back
to
back.
Because you just went from the bathhouse to home?
bathhouse home, no. I've always been, I haven't been in between boyfriends or anything. So, I haven't really experienced any kind of being stood up. Maybe I stood up some people. No, I'm kidding.
Well, it's one thing if you're hooking up with somebody and it's just sex,
uh-huh,
and you flake out on them or like, you know, because then you get thinking, oh, I really don't want to stick my dick in them or fuck around with them or whatever. I mean, I can understand that because, you know, that's just a hookup. But if you actually have gone out and met a couple times, hung out a little bit.
Yeah, you have references.
And
then
say, hey, do you? And they'd already kind of stood me up on Friday night because they were supposed to do something with me Friday night. And I talked to them Friday morning. I said, hey, I'm going to be done with this tour thing about 8:30, 9 o'clock. Where do you want to meet and go do this? I said, oh, I already got plans. Sorry.
You know what?
And I was like, okay, well, that's fine, you know. Maybe I didn't get to you in time enough that morning to get on your schedule.
Okay,
but
here's what I think about your situation there. I think having dinner, even preparing a dinner, even inviting someone to the house, is kind of, don't you think it's a little too early, too soon? Would it have been better if you went out like, hey, let's eat at a restaurant, or hey, I'm... Not movie. Movies are bad.
Movies bad, yeah.
Do not
no,
have a date at a movie.
We did the whole let's have coffee and meet and talk.
Exactly, coffee.
We'd
let's
already
have
done
coffee.
That.
Oh, you've done that
we
already.
We already did that already. See,
so this is step two already.
Like, and the whole thing was, every time that we've been out, it's been somewhere like a coffee house or something. It's kind of noisy, and you couldn't get relaxed and really talk to each other about stuff. And when I'm at a restaurant, I get ADD. So if somebody walks by, I'm looking at them. I'm not paying attention. It's all this noise. So it's very hard for me to concentrate like that and talk to somebody and get to know them. And, I mean, we were just going to hang out and talk and watch TV or whatever, watch a movie or whatever, you know, talk, do whatever, mm-hmm, eat dinner. You know, I just want to spend time with them to get to know them. I mean, I don't think it's that big deal to say, hey, let's eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
and you know I like to cook, too, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But.
Maybe nice well, if he arrives early, watches you cook. That's what, yeah. That's okay, too. Okay. So, like I was saying, inviting dinner. If you already had your coffee, probably one or two coffee dates.
Well, I don't know one or two coffee dates, but we've talked enough over the last couple of weeks that I thought it was that we were comfortable enough with it just to come over.
You've
and
seen
hang
each
out.
Other already.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we could hang out.
Yeah,
so
then dinner would have been good.
So, and me fixing, well, it is a big deal for me to fix your dinner because I usually don't do that for anybody. But I said, well, you know, he's a nice guy, you know,
yeah,
want to get to know him, spend some time with him, figure out what's going on with him.
Oh, well.
Thought there was some potential there. Apparently not. So, oh, well. Dating sucks.
Dating sucks.
Being single on the holidays sucks.
Maybe we'll use that. Oh, we'll use that as a title. We could probably use that as a title.
What, Dating Sucks?
Dating Sucks. And the Holidays or something like that.
Christmas Blues.
Okay, so let us know what your dating horror stories, maybe. Or your, have you been stood up? Let us know. Yeah. show@bearpodcast.com. Or call the voicemail line, 206-222-BEAR.
Or is it just this, that we've come to the point where people don't really just date anymore?
They just hook up and go?
They just hook up and then they go do whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, because you know you're going Growler and Scruff and all them. You know, doesn't anybody want to go on a date? But then if you hit them up, do they want them to talk to you? Because you know you're not perfect type for them. So.
Yeah. Put that in your profile and see what happens.
Well, I got my profile pretty detailed. I'm very out there about what I want and looking for. So.
Oh, okay.
There's no, there shouldn't be any confusion
BDSM, yeah. You, submissive, me, yeah. Stuff like that.
Stuff okay. Like that. Very. I mean, I love my bear brothers, but a couple of them hit me up and say, oh, I want to date you. And I was like, dude, apparently you cannot read. So I like hanging out with the bears. I like partying with the bears. Bears are my best friends, but I don't want to be in a relationship with one.
Yeah.
I've done that before.
You've been, yeah, that's right. Your ex was a bear.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Now it's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre. Okay. So, this is a good topic, Ray.
Well, I thought it kind of ties into back that earlier talk we had about being set up on a date. Let's talk about the gay this week is the myths about gay sex.
Mm-hmm.
Sex.
So, from Gay Star News. Okay.
Yeah, Gay Star News. Nicholas Rose is a counselor and psychotherapist who specializes in working with gay men and gay couples. And it's clear that not much surprises him when it comes to talking about the complete and sometimes tricky subject of sex. Now, we'll put the link to this article on the website and in the show notes so you can go to it because I cut it down a lot and I just hit some of the main questions on here.
Yep.
And so we don't go
bullet points.
Bullet points. Yeah. So, And one of the first questions is, why is sex such a big deal? In relationship counseling, the sex act is a vital and central kind of spotlight on the nature of the relationship. What happens in bed often reflects the wider relationship, so issues around power and control or who pleases who can manifest in the sex act and impact the satisfaction of the couple in their sex life.
So the top guys, the top one, okay.
So, you know, that's just, you know, this just I'm hitting some of the high points here.
Okay.
About sex relationships. So... what happens when you have gay bed death?
Gay bed death. For some people, I think it really happens. And they just want to spice it up, like having somebody else or having a third.
We'll get to that.
So, okay.
But
okay.
That's what I wish one of the questions would have been. What about gay bed death? Mm-hmm. The next question is, what is it about gay relationships or sexual encounters that mean that we often self-categorize in relation to our sexual preferences? A quick scan of dating apps like Grindr suggests gay men have at some stage had an encounter with a Harry Potter SOS sorting hat. Top, bottom, or versatile?
Okay. Yeah, that makes it easy, right? You know what's missing right now in these apps are these filters. Or do they already have it?
Some of them have them. Most of them don't, I don't think.
Like a category and you say tops, then...
yeah. I don't think they do because I think I should be able to sort by bottom or versatile. And then I can just quit being seen all the time. They do nothing for me.
So, right.
So.
But what if they just want to cuddle?
I don't know. It's getting kind of cold maybe. So, the sexual roles adopted by gay men in the sex act attract a lot of mythology. While for some men there may be a psychological element. Hang on, my pad keeps messing up. I keep touching it too much.
Oh, physiological. Physiological.
Physiological element in the relation to the amount of pleasure that can be achieved through anal sex. For most people, the self-categorization into sexual roles stems primarily from expectations, assumptions, or fantasies about what is sexy and what isn't. Mythology and perceptions can be quite unhelpful. For example, some of the misconceptions around someone who identifies themselves as a bottom can cause shames, low self-esteem, and low self-confidence when actually when it's talked through, that person can realize they are the more powerful with others that they first realized.
Those are the power bottoms.
No.
No.
But we do joke around about people being power bottoms and stuff like it's a bad thing.
Well, it really depends. Well, it's, I don't know. I would agree at some point that people say he's a power bottom and everybody laughs, right?
Yes.
That happens a lot.
A lot. And it's a lot of places, yeah. Well, you know, he's a big old bottom, like it's a bad thing. But, you know, it's like if there wasn't bottoms, there'd be a lot of horny tops like me whirling around.
Yeah. And if you're, well, in being bottoms is not really, it's not really a bad thing because it's really, no. I don't know, it's.
Thank God for all you bottoms.
Thank God for
bottoms. Of course, Houston has more bottoms than tops, and I still
isn't
can't
that,
get
there's
laid.
A, there's
and
an article
still
about that.
I can't get laid.
They just want to cuddle. Okay.
No.
So
anyway, one of the areas that often seems to lead conflict in relationships is when one partner wants to open the relationship so that it's no longer monogamous or exclusive. Is that something you see a lot in counseling? If one partner is wanting to change the rules of the relationship, it is important to discuss what is wrong with the sex life at the moment.
Ah, okay.
How is there a conflicting relationship around the issue? Often it may be that one wants to open the relationship, has reached a point of frustration about not getting what they need from the partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be true.
Yes, that's
true. Because if you ain't getting it at home, you're going to get it somewhere else.
That's right.
So my grandma always said, well, if your husband ain't getting it home, he'll get it somewhere else because there's always somebody else that'll give it to him. So, but it was an interesting article. There's a couple more questions you can go read about some more detailed stuff on it, and we'll push the link. But right. I just thought it was pretty interesting about talking about gay sex. And
we'll probably post it on the Bear Podcast page so people can like it and probably people can relate to it or maybe share stories about it. Yeah. This is a good article, right?
Okay. Yeah. I do good sometimes.
You do good sometimes. Okay. So, yeah, let us know. That's the gay. Let's go now to the geek. This is from Comic Book Resources. Okay. So, how will the original X-Men stars be used in Days of Future Past? The roles of Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, and potentially Hugh Jackman have to play in X-Men Days of Future Past. This is a comic book series, right?
This is the next movie.
The next movie, and I remember this is a comic book series also, isn't it?
This was 1980s comic book storyline.
Yeah, it's a short story.
It was like a 3 or 4 comic book episode about them not doing something and it changes the future and they get slung into the future to see what...
That's right. So we'll see Bishop. This is where Bishop comes in?
I think Bishop comes in here.
This is where Bishop comes in. Anyway, okay, so...
It's been a while since I've read this comic, but I told Painter when I was reading this earlier, I said, I think I have those comic books at the house in the box. So,
And probably Cable will come in.
I don't think Cable come in until later. Bishop came in. No, I think they came in later, too.
Oh, okay. So the roles of Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, and potentially Hugh Jackman have to play in the X-Men Days of Future Past have seemingly been revealed. As suspected, those characters could reprise their roles as Magneto, Professor Xavier, and Wolverine in the alternative future depicted in the Days of Future Past storyline. Oh, it's going to be in the future. All right, okay. So the confirmation comes courtesy of the Hollywood Reporter, which claims Jackman and the others will appear mostly in scenes depicting an alternate dystopic future. So pay and time commitments are not substantial. Oh, okay. It's like cameos, practically.
Cameos, yeah.
He's going to do cameos. So that implies McKellen, Stewart, and Jackman won't spend much time on screen. Instead, making smaller cameos like Jackman did in X-Men First Class, it's still unclear if other original X-Men actors like Halle Berry, James Marsden, and Famke Janssen will return as well. So there is a lot of willingness to participate because of Bryan Singer, a source close to the project told THR. X-Men Days of Future Past is set to start shooting in January with a film due in the theaters on July 18th, 2014. Stars James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, and Jennifer Lawrence are all returning. Oh, that's interesting. So the 1981 Days of Future Past story by Chris Claremont and John Byrne. Is it Byrne or Byron? Byrne, right?
Burn, I think.
Burn, which is, yeah, I've all, growing up, reading it, I've always thought it was Byron. But then it might be Byrne. Which, okay, so John Byrne, which appeared in the Uncanny X-Men 141 to 142. So it is a two comic book series.
Yes.
Depicts a timeline created by the X-Men's failure to prevent the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants from assassinating a U.S. senator. In that...
Senator Kelly.
Yeah, Senator Kelly. In that alternate future, the giant robotic Sentinels have become the de facto rulers of the United States, where mutants are hunted down and placed in internment camps. Oh, yeah.
So, now see, this is when I started, this is when I was big into the X-Men, when mm-hmm. Chris Claremont was writing. Because I remember when he stepped down and then he went out and did his whole, he actually did a couple X-Men novels after that. I know of one, but I think there was a couple others that he did. Because mm-hmm. I remember reading one, but he was a very good writer for
So if X-Men. They're if they're going to have,
so basically
if
what
they're going to have Sentinels, it's going to be like, like Transformers type, like Michael Bay
sorta.
Type. Wow.
Sort of.
X-Men, it's going to feel like, you know, X-Men meets robots, really.
But so. In the comic book, if I remember this clearly, Senator Kelly is killed by their Brotherhood of Mutants. And because of this, the Sentinel program gets pushed to stop mutants. Mm-hmm. Well, somehow the team gets transferred to the future. The X-Men get sent to the future where they see that because they didn't prevent this, there's this whole horrible future. If I remember, the mansion's destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Xavier was killed.
Mm.
Most of the X-Men are gone. Wolverine's still around. And then it's whatever their descendants or some of the other people are around. And I think this is where the new Phoenix comes from.
Really?
Jean and Scott's daughter.
Oh! Rachel.
Comes from
Rachel. So Rachel's going to come up.
I think she ties into all this because that's where all them come back from the future.
Oh, you're
right. And they
switch
time. And then they
it's
end up
be.
Coming back and it's different because they come back to a different timeline.
Yes. And remember, did they come back with Rachel back when she came
well,
back?
Well, see, Rachel came through way back back then, and then that's when she got all wound up with them. And then she went off and did the thing with Excalibur.
Oh yeah, we did with Excalibur. Okay, just to recap a little. Rachel Summers is the daughter of Scott Summers and Jean Grey. In the future.
Future.
So it didn't even haven't happened. Actually, the first issue of X-Men that I've ever read was the one I ever collected. The first one is 206. That's when I really started. So if this is 141 to 142, then. It's a few
weird. We'll have to dig through my comic book collection. See
still have this?
Yeah, I think so.
You're a nerd.
I think I still got all of them.
Such a nerd. So. Okay. So what do you guys think? Let's all geek out on X-Men and robots from the future. Sure. Okay, let's go on with the bizarre, right?
Okay. Pinocchio wasn't a lie. The nose reacts when you fib.
Mm-hmm.
In the story of Walt Disney's Pinocchio, the boy puppet's lies are revealed whenever his wooden nose grows. Since then, a growing nose has been synonymous with being caught in a fib. It turns out that the idea isn't too far from the truth. Researchers at the University of Granada in Spain found that when people lie, their noses and orbital muscles become hot, a condition they call the Pinocchio effect. Emilio Gomez Milan and Elvira Salazar Lopez have been using thermographic cameras to record people as they discuss subjective experience. When they perform different dances and when they become sexually aroused, no surprise that sexual excitement causes additional heat to emanate from the genitals, chest, and a little less so for women than men. Thermography detects body temperature. It's the technology that allows night vision to work. When people fib, the temperature in the muscles around the nose and the eyes heated up while other areas in the face cooled. This corresponds with the action of the incircular cortex nestled deep within the cerebral cortex, which controls emotions, our subjective sense of inner blood pressure letting during exercise, and perception of pain. Stronger negative or conflicted feelings, increased activity in the incircular cortex, leading to more heat emanating from the nose and orbital muscles. So when you lie, your nose twitches or gets hotter.
Is it the warm? Yeah. If you're under infrared, I guess. Yeah.
So they got the infrared, the heat camera, so.
Oh.
Like they do on Ghost Hunters where they see the cold spots. Ooh, it's a ghost. Mm.
Say, I have big balls. Say it.
He's got big balls.
It's got, what? Is it getting longer? Is my nose getting longer? No, it's. I don't know. I may have seen this. I know the heart. When you lie, your heart rate comes up. I guess it affects all your other.
Well, see, that's the whole thing about the lie detector, because there are certain variations in your body chemistry that happen when you lie, and that's what the lie detector, I think, detects, is the changes in the body. But some people can get away with lying and it never show up.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You think you can do it? Do you think you can beat it?
Oh, no. I'm not too good of a liar.
You're not a very good liar?
Mm-mm. I learned at a young age, lying gets you nowhere, because you just end up making story after story after story to cover the story you told before. And I was just like, it's better just tell the truth.
No, that is true.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I slept with your boyfriend. Do you want to sleep with me now?
No. All right. Let's go on with our shout-outs for this episode, okay? So first is from Bill. Yeah, shout-out to Bill from San Francisco. He says he loved episode 446. And he says, yes to Doctor Who and Breaking Bad. And he won't share spoilers. He says that Wreck-It Ralph surprised me since Soapy LGBT worked on it. Yes, yeah, so thank you, Bill, for that quick comment from Twitter. Speaking of Breaking Bad, I've spent sleepless nights watching Breaking Bad. Like this morning, I slept around 3 or 4 a.m. because I went on watching four straight episodes from, and then I think I watched another fifth when I woke up.
I'd get back into it. I still haven't picked up where I left off.
Oh, my God. Guys, watch Breaking Bad. It's awesome. The storylines, they say that it's good at the first season, and then it kind of slumped down in second and third season. I don't think so. It helps that you watch it back to back to back. Yeah. So when I was watching it, and I could see the progression and everything, it's really good. It's a really good storyline. Storyline.
What gets me is that the storyline's kind of slow, because it's a very, because they're trying. I think they're trying to play this a very mundane life that they have,
mm-hmm.
with all this crazy shit happening in it.
Yep.
And I think that comes across, and it gets a little frustrating at times for me, that. But then I'm like, you know, he's this normal, everyday guy that just this weird crap's happened to because of what he's got himself into.
And then he cooks up meth.
Yeah.
The Jesse character just pissed me off. I mean, I want to slap his face.
Jesse's cute as hell, but I wanted him dead since, like, episode 3 or 4.
Yeah. Was it you who told me? Somebody told me about it, at work, some of my coworkers telling me that there are only 7 episodes in the first season because that's when the writer's strike happened. Jesse's supposed to die. They're supposed to kill him off and have somebody else. But since there was a writer's strike, and there was a good feedback from the audience about Jesse's character, sure. So they kept him.
But he's what, the antagonist of the show?
Pretty much. Yeah. He's coming up as the antagonist because
he's everything that you don't want the person to be.
Yeah. I mean, somebody you really don't want to work with, to make deals with. He's somebody, I don't know, if you're a drug dealer, you don't deal with this guy.
That's right.
That's pretty much it. Of all the things that should happen, it happens to a guy that you don't want to work with. But anyway, but of course, it's part of the story. It adds to the drama, which works.
Yeah.
Okay, so one more. Chuck in Houston. I don't know if you're coming up here. Here's a picture here. Actually, he went out wearing a Tinky Winky costume during a Christian protest on gay marriage.
There we go.
There he is. Oh, well, there's a sign. Yeah, there's a picketer. Somebody who's holding signs. And here comes Chuck walking around in Tinky Winky costume. So Chuck is about 6'5", I think. Yeah. He wears a Tinky Winky costume walking around Montrose. And he sticks like a sore thumb running around. And
it's the good news that we didn't report this week, because it's already everywhere, is that the Supreme Court has decided to hear the cases on marriage equality.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that should have been one of our topics then.
Well, you know, so much talk about it, and there's not really much talk about it other than the big things that come out when they bring it to trial in March and then give their verdict on it in probably June.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll hold it to June since that's National Pride Month across the U.S.
Oh, right. That's right.
That they'll hold it and say whatever. So, but there were some talk about that. One of the good things about it is this is the first pro-president for equality in marriage.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So usually if the president's behind it, and the president said we're not enforcing DOMA, especially like government saying we got this law, but we're not going to enforce it. That's basically what the president said. So it's a commission to see what happens. And if it says that it's unconstitutional, then it's pretty much over for most of the states, because unlike abortion, there's only so many rules they can put in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, abortion got so chipped down after Roe versus Wade now that you have to do all this stuff, but you're either married or you're not, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's going to come down to. So
yeah. So what happened? See, we will see what slippery slopes we're gonna.
Yeah.
Gonna.
And then we come back to the whole thing. What happened to all those people that got married before that are no longer together? Now it is legal across the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Lots of weddings. Yep. Actually, that's the problem in New York. I've been hearing, because people get wedding fatigue, because people are getting married left and right, mm-hmm. every month, every week. Because I think they're, trying to catch up to
to get married before somebody gets in there and reverses it.
Yeah, that's right. So I think I read an article about that in New York, that probably every week there's a gay marriage somewhere. And
oh, I'm sure it's
among their friends, among their circle of friends. So they would just end up just getting married, and mm-hmm. and they spend a lot.
I'm sure there's going to be all kind of Fire Island weddings this year, this coming summer.
But that's good for the economy.
Yeah.
That's what's one of the good things about gay marriage. It adds to the to the income of the state or to the country. Anyway, so okay, if you have any comments on our topics for today, and it's a big show. I didn't realize it's going to be. Yeah. I thought it's going to be a short one, but it's actually. By the way, he's got a date. He's got a date.
No, I don't.
No, you don't have a date.
I don't have a date.
Oh, okay, he doesn't have a date. So that's why we're hurrying up. So everyone out there, if you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can give us a call, leave us a voice message at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. Give us a call. Tell us about what you like, didn't like the show, or give us your comment, or tell us about what date you got stood up on, or what sex life is with you and your partner.
Yeah.
And we'll play it here on the show.
Send pictures. Okay. So we'll play it in the show if you send a voicemail. And subscribe by iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. And don't forget, if you want to send a holiday card, send it to Bear Podcast, P.O. Box 2511, Humble, Texas 77347. So that's pretty much it.
Yep.
What are we going to do? We're going to set up my tree now?
Yeah, we're going to decorate the tree.
Decorate the tree? Okay. We're going to decorate some trees. Okay.
If he'll cut the heat on in here.
Are you cold?
A little bit.
What? You're a bear. You're not supposed to be that cold.
Yeah, but I've lost weight, so I'm chilly all the time.
Oh, you've lost weight. You lost a little bit of bear card. All right, so thank you everyone for watching and listening. We'll catch you guys next week. Many wolves and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.
Oh, we talked about being Ray, being stood up on a date.